The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. It is page 319 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Amen. On past Sunday of March 13th, I spoke about King Lear, a tragedy by Shakespeare. A King Lear, who was over 80 years old, wanted to live the rest of his life in comfort after giving away his kingdom and his throne to his three daughters and sons-in-law. The King Lear divided up his territory into thirds and decided to give away his land according to how his daughters answered his question about how much they loved him. But because he could not correctly discern between his first and second daughters who did not love him, and the third daughter who did, he became the protagonist of a tragedy. The origin of tragedy is found in ancient Greece. A representative work in Greek tragedy is Oedipus, written by Sophocles. In a city called Corinth, Oedipus grew up between father Polybus and mother Merope. One day at a banquet, he heard that his parents were not his real parents. So he tried to confirm this with his parents, but they denied it. But a seer prophesied that you will kill your father and marry your mother. In order to avoid this, Oedipus went away from Corinth. And one day he was traveling on a carriage when a fight broke out between a person on the other carriage at a steep hill. So he ended up killing the carriage driver, a messenger, and the old man who was riding on that carriage. And Oedipus went on to correctly guess the answer to a riddle given by Sphinx, which was, what creature walks on four during the morning, walks on two during the day, and walks on three in the evening? By guessing this riddle, he became the king of Thebes and received the queen. Later, while he investigated the death of the former king of Thebes, Linus, he came to realize that he was originally the son of king of Thebes, and the old man he had killed in the carriage was his father, and the queen that he had inherited was his mother, Jocasta. His mother, who came to know this, killed herself, and Oedipus pricked his eyes with a golden brooch many times and lost his sight, claiming, there is no use to eyes that cannot see. Ironically, the person who told him that the person who had killed Oedipus's father was Oedipus himself, was a seer named Tiresias, who was blind. Now, Oedipus tried to avoid his fate, which even a blind man knew, but he could not avoid his fate at the end. Now, there is a critical difference between ancient Greek tragedy and tragedies of Shakespeare. If Greek tragedy is a tragedy of fate, in which the character tries to avoid fate that's already been determined for him or her but cannot, no matter what he or she does, tragedies of Shakespeare are tragedies of character, which are brought on by character flaws. Now, Lear did not go down the tragic path because of fate allotted to him, but he received this tragic end because he did not have the right discernment. Are our lives, faith lives, similar to King Lear or King Oedipus? Surprisingly, a lot of Christians mistakenly think that faith life is similar to the story of Oedipus. Oh, what does it matter how much I try? God only does what He wants to do. Or we say things like, just be still, because everything will happen according to God's will. But these things do not reflect the right attitude for faith. The contrary, faith life is more similar to the story of King Lear. Now God has allowed us certain situations and circumstances in our lives. Our job is to discern them correctly, interpret them correctly, and apply them correctly, and thereby maturing our lives and faith more and more. Now, Jesus Christ is God Himself, and it was only right that He enjoyed. It was only right that He was entitled to the status of being God forever. However, He emptied Himself and came to this earth as the lowliest of low, and because He willingly went to the place of death on the cross, God exalted Jesus Christ to be the name higher than highest name on this earth, and made all things above on this earth and below the earth to bow their knees before Him. This is the essence of the faith that we believe. Verse 12 of today's text testifies as follows. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, today's text begins with the word, therefore. This means that the verses are connected to the foregoing verses 5 to 11. They tell us that if you're a Christian who believe in the voluntary humbling of Jesus Christ and emptying of Himself, then you must live a life in which you work out your salvation. Whether it's a nation or workplace, it is really a blessing to be with a good leader. Being with a good leader is more important than good facilities, is more valuable than a lot of salary. The reason is that the way the leader is walking will point to a right direction, and his or her life will be a good model, a good example. But that leader will not live the life for you. We live each of our lives on our own. There have been more than just one or two persons who walked the right path, not only in our country, but in the world. And there have been numerous others who have served as good models for us. Now, we like the roads they walked, but we only look and do not want to walk on them ourselves. And we think that this kind of upright life does not have a lot to do with us. And this is particularly true for spiritual way. A spiritual leader can teach about the way of God's words, but that spiritual leader cannot substitute for my faith. The way of my faith is to be walked by myself. And so Apostle Paul encourages the believers of Philippi to work out your salvation. At the same time, says that do not think, even for 1 minute, that me being with you is critical to your life as a Christian. This is because our faith is to be lived on our own. But since we have already received salvation, what does it mean to work out your salvation? There are three tenses to salvation: the past tense, the past perfect tense, the present progressive tense, and future perfect tense. Therefore, when we talk about salvation, it is correct for us to say, I received salvation. And also, it is right to say, I am receiving salvation. And it is not incorrect to say, I will receive salvation. The salvation in the past perfect tense is called justification. And the salvation in the present progressive tense is sanctification. And salvation in the future perfect tense is glorification. And let me explain them in more detail. The first is salvation by justification. The salvation by justification is 100% the work of God. There is nothing that a man has done for this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 testify as follows. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It says that the base of our salvation is grace and through faith. To say that it is by grace and through faith, it signifies that the salvation is not something which is manufactured by us. If we say, I received salvation because I believed, and you were not saved because you did not believe, then since such statement turns faith into a condition to salvation, it is not a correct statement. If we say, I received salvation because I had good conscience, or I had a heart that sought out for God more than other people, then we would have to say, I was saved because of faith. But the verse says, we were saved through faith. It means that I had no qualifications, abilities, but when I entrusted myself to God, the gift of salvation was given to me. The answer to justification is, the answer to salvation by justification is always that God is the basis. God is the starting point and is perfection. One of the best examples of justification by faith is the event of Exodus of the children of Israel. They had lived in slavery for over 400 years in Egypt. They were able to arrive at the land of Canaan and leave Egypt not because they started a war for independence with different kinds of weapons, or they paid a tremendous amount of money to get back and dispose of the documents that evidenced their status as slaves. The historical event of Exodus was wholly the work of God. Now, God called Moses for the Exodus of Israel people, and this is what he said. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 8 of Exodus testify as follows. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into the good and spacious land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. The object of the verbs in these words, seeing the misery, hearing the cries of the people, coming down, rescuing, bringing them out, is all God. And God called the children of Israel, my people. They lived as slaves for hundreds of years, and as they lived in this way, they had almost forgotten about God's existence, but God did not forget them. And when His time had arrived, He called His people out. This is the same for us. We were all people who didn't have any interest in God about eternal life. What we could see with our eyes were all to us. And we lived a life which went the way the world pulled on it. But into our lives, although we had not even asked once, God entered. We came to hear about who Jesus Christ is through our families, about the realities of heaven through our friends, about what eternal life is through our work colleagues, even in strange places, through strangers, we came to hear that God is concerned with our lives. And so, because salvation by justification is wholly a work of God, this is always expressed in the passive. The second half of the lyric of hymn 305, Amazing Grace, the English version of the lyric goes like this. I once was lost. But now I am found. By whom? By God. I was blind. Before I could not see in front of me, but now I can see. It is saying that because God saved us, we're lost. In other words, in the state of being dead spiritually, we have become people who can see God and salvation. The second aspect of salvation is salvation by sanctification. If the salvation by justification is all about status, we could say that salvation by sanctification is about being at a certain level. If we go to the same high school, we all have the identical status as the high school students. If we go to school diligently for 3 years, we get the same diploma and become alums. But our report cards are not the same. Even within the same school, there are students who are upset because they got two answers wrong, even after they get a grade of 98. And there are students who happily laugh that they got 20 higher points than last time, although they got, after getting a score of 30. Now, because their level of scholarship is different, they will not go to a same university after studying 3 years. And this applies not only to studying, but to all areas, cooks, designers, artists, singers, performers, actors, CEOs, homemakers, pastors. The level that they're at are not the same just because their job or responsibility descriptions noted in their name cards are alike. When I was going to elementary school, there was a historical drama on TV called King's First Love. Now, this story was about Cheoljong, the 25th king of Joseon Dynasty. Now, Hunjong, his father, did not have a child. So he had a child named Wonbum, a third son of a relative who worked on farming at Gangwa-do, brought to the court and made him prince of Deogwangun. When Hunjong passed away, Deogwangun became the king at the age of 19, but because he had only worked at farming, he didn't know anything about governing the country. So his nickname became that of Gangwa Boy. And so Kims of Andong became the sole players on the political stage, and the country became seized with civil rebellions and protests. And Cheoljong remained as a king for 14 years, but he died at the young age of 32 without having ever ruled the country in the true sense or leaving behind children. A king has a life as a king and his role as a king mapped out for him. But Cheoljong had a status as a king, but his level was at the level of a farmer. The salvation that verse 12 of today's text talks about is the salvation by sanctification. That God called us not only to enjoy our status as saved ones. He called us to work out the salvation by sanctification. The reason that Protestant believers are shrinking more and more, that church is criticized, and the name of the Lord is desecrating the world, is because we ignore this life of salvation that reaches a higher level by sanctification. The third is the salvation by glorification. Now, this salvation is not completed on earth. When Jesus lived again, he had a body but was not limited by space. When he went to his disciples, he entered that place, although the doors were closed. When the end comes to this earth, God will make all of us, God will change all of us to be the same way. We can say that salvation by justification is a salvation that happens in the past. Salvation of the past. And that salvation by sanctification is a salvation of the present. And the salvation by glorification is a salvation that will occur in the future. Salvation by justification has already been accomplished for us, and salvation by glorification is something that will be accomplished for us at the end of the world. If so, then what is most important for us is justification by sanctification. Now, of course, for people who do not yet know who Jesus Christ is, those who live according to the ways of the world and think that that is all there is to it, salvation by justification is most important. Now, all Christians have the duty of sanctification. Through this process, we come to be children of God who come to resemble God more and more. Therefore, the words tell us to work out your salvation. It does not say manufacture your salvation or struggle in order to arrive at salvation. It says perfect what has already been given to you. This is a very, very proactive command. But there are some who think of sanctification in very passive terms. This thinking goes that if we rely on God, then salvation by sanctification will happen automatically. But this is right. This is not right attitude of faith. Among hymns, there is the following song. Look, do not fear it, and look, I who have guided you. Look, do not be tired, and look, I who have saved you. Where is the enemy who have risen up against you? Where is the enemy who has oppressed you? Look, look at God's salvation, God's power. Look at the hands of the Lord who fights for you. Now, are these lyrics correct or wrong? Is it true that because God fights for us, we need not be in the front? If so, then why does God say that we should wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit? If the war belongs to God, and since God will be fighting, why do we have to put on the full armor gear? And in the past, when we attended a revival meeting, we used to hear a lot of this type of prayers. The speakers at these meetings would give a long list of examples of those who became successful in life in worldly terms after believing in Jesus, and those who hit a jackpot upon praying. And then they would say things like, raise up your right hand if you have decided to entrust everything to the Lord, although you until now did as you please, thinking your life belonged to you. Or, those of you who commit to let God undo your problems, although you have struggled until now to resolve them on your own, we will pray for you. Please stand up. We'll pray for you. And then the prayers will follow. Father God, I have lived as I please, and I was met with only failures and disappointments. From now, let me reside only in the Lord, and may the Lord take care of my life, etc., etc., etc. And there will be a lot of amens accompanied by tears, weren't there? So there are surprisingly a lot of people among Christians who understand faith not as our battle, but a battle that is fought by the Lord for us. But the lyrics that I mentioned just before, it's actually relates to salvation by justification. Salvation by sanctification is something that we are to accomplish. And, you know, when we look back on our lives, we get to see that God has blessed us far beyond that whatever little efforts that we make for sanctification. I will recite verse 12 again. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more, in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It says that our attitude for working out our salvation should be that of fear and trembling. The meaning of this verse is not that we should be fearful about losing salvation that we received. It's talking about an attitude of being refraining and being prudent. Chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 of 1 Corinthians testify as follows. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Apostle Paul says that when he started the Corinthian church, he was very much afraid of people thinking that the church was doing well because he was good at spreading the gospel and was good at preaching. In other words, he's saying that he was afraid that unbelievers would hear the gospel, understand the words, and then think that they were able to do so because Saint Apostle Paul was good at preaching. When I was going to college, I lived together with three Christian friends for 2 years. Four of us would read one chapter of the words every day and prayed, and I have a very fond memory of this time. Once, a friend told me, now that I lived with you a long time, I don't think you can be anything or do anything but be a pastor. In the beginning, when I heard this, now this really put me in a bad mood, and I became mad. I answered back inwardly, I can do well at any job. I like teaching, and I can make a public service employee. But now, I am very grateful for those words. If a member of our church, talk well about me, would say, Reverend Jung Han-joo is very smart. His IQ seems to be more than 150, and he probably did very well at school. If he did not become a pastor and went for a regular job, he would have been promoted faster than anybody else, and he had been a businessman, he would have become a rich man. This would not be a compliment, but putting me down. Now, if you tell me that I know that God is alive because even a person like you can be a pastor, that would be a compliment to me. Recently, many members of the church told me, these days, I don't fall asleep during Sunday worship. My answer to that is probably because I'm not good at speaking at all, and you're worried and insecure for me when I speak. This is really true. What Christians believe in and know about are things that the world cannot understand or realize with its wisdom or abilities. The things that we understand about our faith is not something that we can understand with our learnings or our experiences. And so, we must remember well that we did not become Christians, and the things that we believe in and understand as Christians are not due to our learnings or experiences. And so fear and trembling means humility and having a sense of awe and being prudent. These are qualities that are common to Christians who are working out salvation by sanctification, who are reaching salvation of a higher level. Now, this is a story about a friend of mine who worked at a college in the United States. About 11 p.m. one night, he went to buy a medicine because his stomach was bothering him. He didn't like having to go out to get the medicine, but he disliked the discomfort of his stomach even more. So he thought that he would quickly go out and fetch the medicine, drive very quickly to get back, and was returning home. But then another car followed him in a fast speed, and he was getting out of his car at his house garage. A person got off from the car that was following him, and it was the police. And the police told him not to get out of the car, but wait for him there, and started to check out his car. He regretted driving too fast, but it was already too late. He was used to speeding, even at normal times. It took his wife 12 minutes to get to the church from home, but it took him only 7 minutes. The police asked him for his driver's license, insurance information, and car registration papers. My friend asked the cop a bit facetiously, "So what have I done wrong?" The young cop smiled and said, "Are you asking me because you don't know what you've done?" and told him that he was stopped for speeding and running the stop sign. And he asked whether there was a reason why he had to drive so fast. My friend said that there was no special reason, but his stomach was bothering him, and since it was middle of the night, he wanted to come home fast. The policeman said okay and went back to his car to do something. Now, this put my friend slowly in a really bad mood. So, wow. So, he's so diligent about his job. This is almost midnight. For crying out loud, why doesn't he go to sleep and going around and giving out tickets? Complaints poured out of him. And after a while, the policeman came out to him again and asked, "What's your job?" My friend was flustered and answered, "I'm a pastor." The policeman smiled and said, "During the past 5 years, have you been stopped by police due to similar incidents?" My friend was irritated, but when he thought back, there were 2 or 3 similar incidents, so he shot back, "Yes, there have been speeding incidents, and I ran a traffic light once." The policeman smiled again and said, "The reason the police gives you tickets is to ask you to change your driving habits. But although you have received 2 to 3 tickets during the past 5 years, you are not changing yourself. You're not changing your habits. Now, pastor, aren't you a person who asks other people to change? Then why aren't you changing?" Now, my friend felt like he was hit with a hammer. Nothing to say. The policeman continued to say, "When I checked out your car, we already knew that your car belonged to the church and that you are a pastor. Now, fortunately, you are honest with me, so I will only give you a warning. But you must change your driving habits starting from today. If you don't change, you will get into big trouble one of these days." And so he smiled and turned back. The longer our life is and the more we get to know God, we are beings who will change more. If we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Lord will appear in our appearances, and the name of the Lord will once again be glorified on this earth. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for making us realize that there is salvation which is due to 100% of God's grace, but that there is also salvation that we are to work out. Help us not to remain satisfied with just being God's children, or allow us to level up as Christians. And in order to do so, allow us to live our lives before you at all times with fear and trembling and accomplish our salvation, work out our salvation. If we were mistaken, if we wrongfully believed that our lives were more like that of Oedipus, help us to correct a mistake and not make wrong judgments in the circumstances that you allowed us in our lives, like King Lear. Help us to walk with you always. Allow us the courage to make the right commitments and to act on them by remaining in God's words. Although we are still vulnerable, still lacking, still poor, allow us to live with hope and to walk resolutely to the place that you have called us to the place where you will bestow crowns of glory on us. Although people may not bestow their recognition on us, although they may send us looks of prejudice and questioning looks our way, help us so that they will not interfere with us working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so may we change more and more to be the more whole Christians, the more whole children of God. I pray in the name of Jesus.